Hey, everybody, is the vaccine helping or is it hurting? Thought crime incoming. We read Daniel Horowitz's email. Also, John Gruden has been canceled. Good thing, bad thing. We talk about that and so much more. Email me directly. I love hearing from you. freedom@charliekirk.com. That is freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to support our program, it's charliekirk.com/support. Timothy from Laguna Hills, California. Thank you. Robert from California. Thank you. Robin from Douglas, Massachusetts. Thank you. Veronica from Edison, New Jersey. Thank you so much for supporting us. Tom from Hearst, Texas. Nancy from Delaware. And if you have heard anything that you like, you say, man, I wish more people would hear this. You make it possible for us to expand, to grow. charliekirk.com/support to get behind the work we are doing. So thank you for that. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com, where we play offense with a sense of urgency to win the American culture war, tpusa.com. And come to our big event in Phoenix, Arizona, December 18, 19, 2021, tpusa.com/amfest. That's tpusa.com/AMFEST. Check it out, tpusa.com/AMFEST. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. This episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. All right, I got to be honest with all of you. I did not think I'd be spending any of our time talking about John Gruden. That was not on my bingo card. Look, I've been following John Gruden my entire life as far as watching sports is concerned. My first John Gruden memory, was it the 01 Super Bowl or the 02 Super Bowl, which was Raiders v. Buccaneers? And the Raiders were heavily favored, and John Gruden was the coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tiki Barber or Amari Barber? No, I think it was Amari. Tiki was with the Giants, yeah. And that was a great team. It was one of the best defenses ever put together, and the Buccaneers won the Super Bowl. And that was John Gruden was the coach of the Bucs. John Gruden has always been kind of a wild child in the NFL, always been a little bit of a loose cannon, if you will. And I believe he was also the coach of the Oakland Raiders in like the 90s. And then he went to the Buccaneers and led them to the Super Bowl. Very complicated. But then he rejoined the Raiders in 2018 after he was an analyst on Monday Night Football. Do you remember those things? He used to sit down with the quarterbacks and it was like Gruden's corner. I've never been a big fan of John Gruden. I'll be very honest. He won in 2002. That's right. My memory's not too bad. I'm not going to be an apologist for John Gruden. Okay. I'm sure he lives a complicated life like most people in the NFL. But this recent saga involving in his resignation/termination is disgusting. And the National Football Association is, in many different ways, an enterprise that is built on a house of cards. The entire structure of how many of the teams are filed as nonprofits, on how almost every stadium is built thanks to taxpayer dollars. There's a lot of corruption that exists in the National Football League. And so it came out a couple days ago that John Gruden is going to be fired or has to speak out for his racist and homophobic emails over 10 years ago. And I shrugged my shoulders and I actually didn't know where this one was going to go because John Gruden signed a 10-year, $100 million deal with the Oakland Raiders. And now, so he technically resigned whatever. He says, I have resigned as the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. I love the Raiders and do not want to be a distraction. Thank you to all the players, coaches, and staff and fans of Raider Nation. I'm sorry. I never meant to hurt anyone. John Gruden. And so it was revealed in some of these emails, and based from what I've seen, should he have said some of these things? Probably not. No. Was he joking around in private in a context that none of us can understand? Yes. He incited Joe Biden, insulted Joe Biden. I can't even say what he called Joe Biden on air. It's kind of hilarious. Called Roger Goodell a certain name. I'm no fan of Roger Goodell. So if this whole thing is like a Roger Goodell apology tour, but here's what really matters. Here's the question. In the National Football League, do they ever allow people to do bad things and continue to participate? Like murder. How about Ray Lewis and his legacy of the unsolved double murder? Or how about, you remember this one? You remember Ray Rice, who literally punched his fiance in an elevator? It was an elevator, right? Which gained total notoriety. Following the indictment, he was released by the Ravens and suspended, and now Rice would be reinstated after he successfully appealed the league's decision. And this whole thing with John Gruden is this question of, should you be judged by things you have said in private 10 years ago to destroy your current life? How about Deshaun Watson, former quarterback for the Clemson Tigers? Is he still on the Houston Texans? I don't think he's playing though, right? He's still allowed to play in the league, and he has credibly been accused of sexually assaulting 24 women. Yet John Gruden says some things in private emails. And look, I'm gonna ask everyone to find the comments from Dennis Prager on this, because he's phenomenal on this, which is, the things you say in private should not and cannot be held against the things that you say in public. Which, a great example is this. A great example is, you can find me the nicest, most pious, reverent, wonderful person until they get cut off on a highway. And they will say things that they would not say in public. Does that make them any worse of a person? No, is the answer. Is that if you want to see who someone truly is, judge them by their fruits. Dennis Prager wrote this piece in 2014. What have you said in private? In fact, Andrew, let's have Dennis Prager on the show to talk about this. And I'm going to press him, because I've asked him a very good question about this, which is, how do we then reconcile some of the James O'Keefe videos? Which is a very interesting question, right? And his answer is, well, that's more about the essence of what they're revealing from a policy standpoint and less about some of the words. But that's a very interesting question. And so Dennis Prager wrote this piece, who I have such respect for Prager. He's incredible and he's a very good friend, where he says, and I'm kind of finding the point, because this was all about the head of the Los Angeles Clippers who had to resign, where he says, private remarks can be racist and awful, but the growing acceptance of the leaks of people's private non-criminal behaviors and comments and the consequential judgment of these people will ultimately injure society far more than the alleged problems that John Gruden is having. This was all around Donald Sterling. Remember Donald Sterling with those alleged comments? Same sort of thing. And until you get on your moral high horse, every single person listening to this right now has said things and texted things and emailed things that could destroy your career, including the cancelers. But let's get to the bottom line here. Why is John Gruden not offered forgiveness? Because if John Gruden was worth saving, here's what they would do. They'd give him a 2-week suspension to go to some sort of racial reconciliation camp, which, by the way, that's going to be the new playbook. As soon as all of the Democrats start to get flagged as racist, they're going to come up with this new playbook of, like, well, he went to like a fat spa to go like lose weight type equivalent thing. You know, he's trying to get his life right. He went to Racist Anonymous and now he's back in 2 weeks. Like, yeah, okay. I kid you not. That's going to be the new, because the only way, the Democrats have to find a way to exempt themselves from the very totalitarianism and tyranny that they're inflicting upon us. And one of the ways they're going to do that is create this like Racist Anonymous support group through some sort of like, well, he's going to take a little bit of a hiatus and he's back and he's found the deep, darkest corner of his soul and he realized he was truly a racist and now he's going to be an ally of the anti-racist movement. But the real reason why they had to get rid of John Gruden is because he's a white, Catholic, conservative male who speaks out, and they know that that cannot be supported and offered forgiveness. That's the real reason this happened. And we call this cancel culture. We call this all these different sorts of things. I can't stand the term cancel culture. What it is it's an avenge camp. It's trying to not, it's not, it's a revenge campaign against a certain group of people to try and purge society from the non-believers. And you go through the list of people on the left that have said, how about Sarah Silverman? Why is she given a pass? How about Jimmy Kimmel, who wore blackface? Governor Ralph Northam of Virginia never resigned despite either wearing blackface or a KKK hood. How about Joy Behar? No, the reason why John Gruden resigned is Roger Goodell wanted him out. Is Roger Goodell being a little Caesar, overseeing the decline of a once great National Football League, one of the most incompetent, worst sports commissioners in history? What is he earning, $32 million a year or something? He wants Gruden gone. And because of that, his life has now been put in jeopardy. Now, Gruden might bounce back, but Gruden's going to have to go to the equivalent of Racist Anonymous. And David McCullough's biography of Harry Truman revealed one of the most courageous friends of American Jews and blacks ever had in the White House frequently used words I will not say on air. He even wrote them down in a letter home from New York. Mr. Truman described the city as a, I'm not going to say this on air. It's going to get me, and also, so I don't believe it. Was this unfortunate? Yes. Important? No. Defining of the man? Absolutely not. Every person listening to this has skeletons in your closet that, if resurrected, would destroy your life. Stop judging people based on theirs. Hey, everybody. China is taking over the world. Do you know that you might be buying Chinese meat? Yeah. Well, I'm telling you right now, you need to buy American meat. I want you to imagine 100,000 Americans losing their jobs. Well, it's happened. Since 2015, over 100,000 independent farms and ranches in the United States have shut down. Why? Because foreign meat coming into America, being labeled as America meat, very, very deceivingly labeled American meat, is coming in. If you guys want a box of meat, comes to your door discreetly, it's phenomenal. GoodRanchers.com. Do you know that the product of USA tag has been stolen by foreign countries? They process their meat here and label it like it came from the United States. Because of these labeling laws that favor foreign imported meat, over 100,000 independent American farms and ranches have closed since 2015. Good Ranchers is here to put America number one. When Good Ranchers comes to the office, I tell you, it's amazing steak, incredible chicken. It is marbled beautifully at GoodRanchers.com. Go to GoodRanchers.com/Charlie right now to save $20 off, or better yet, subscribe and save each box of mouth-watering American meats that will show up on your schedule right to your door. That's right. Get $20 off and free express shipping if you go to goodranchers.com/Charlie or use promo code Charlie at checkout. That's $20 off and free express shipping. Here, look, when you guys go to goodranchers.com/Charlie, it fills three needs. Number one, you all have to eat. Number two, it supports the Charlie Kirk Show. Number three, it helps American farmers and ranchers. Eat, help the show, help the country. GoodRanchers.com/Charlie. Wyoming is called to be the most, is described to be the most conservative state in the country. What if I told you that in Wyoming, a 16-year-old got in a controversy for refusing to comply with the local mask mandate in Wyoming? She was then suspended, fined, and arrested in Albany County, Wyoming. What are we doing to ourselves in this country? We're arresting 16-year-olds because they don't wear the mask that you want them to wear? Well, this is in Laramie. This is right near Laramie, Wyoming, right near the University of Wyoming. Very liberal part of Wyoming, I might add. Almost as liberal as Teton County, which is northwestern Wyoming. I love Wyoming. Wyoming is one of my favorite states in the country. I want to play this tape here, though. 16-year-old refusing to comply with the local mask mandate, suspended, fined, and arrested. Play cut 31.
I'm going to go right to citation for you. I'm going to let you know what's going on at this point. This entire building now is in lockdown. So you have now restricted the movement of over 1,000 students who are not allowed to leave their classrooms because you're trying to get back into the classroom. This court day is November 16th at 9 o'clock in Circuit Court. All right. Any questions on that?
Nope.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. So you're still refusing to leave?
Yes, sir.
Even after you're receiving your citation?
Yes, sir.
All right. Then at this point, I am going to place you into custody for trespassing.
Okay.
Straight A student, handcuffed and led to jail by police for not wearing a mask. Grace Smith, 16 years old, now has a court date in November because she would not wear a mask. In Wyoming, everybody. Straight A student. And what's so amazing is how few people stood up for her. Meanwhile, we allow criminals to come across where they're trafficking children into our country, drugs and weapons. We were just in El Paso. It's a disaster down there. And we are arresting 16-year-olds in Wyoming for not wearing a mask, where they are at a much greater risk of riding in a car to school and dying than from dying from the Fauci Chinese coronavirus. And meanwhile, 100,000 fans can watch college football on a Saturday packed in like sardines as long as you are seated at a restaurant with no mask. You could sit at a restaurant, no mask, the virus magically goes away. You can drink on a plane even though you're on top of one another. What kind of country are we becoming, everybody? Why are we putting up with this? Has the governor of Wyoming said anything about this? I don't think so, right? Explaining her beliefs, she said, "It's because I'm growing up in a country where I'm supposed to have my God-given rights protected and they're being taken away. Everybody has the freedom to wear a mask if they choose, but I believe everyone has the right not to wear a mask if they choose." Her name is Grace Smith. You can find her support at GiveSendGo in Wyoming, which was once called one of the most conservative states in the country. This is happening all across America, where we are seeing people pay a price for their freedom. But let's just say that she was being difficult for their ridiculous mask mandate. You're going to arrest a student for that? So she's been taken to jail. Where is the governor of Wyoming on this? I don't think he's commented on it. Hasn't said anything. 16-year-old arrested last week at her school when she refused to wear a mask on school grounds. Meanwhile, if you're BLM Incorporated, you can burn down Wendy's and burn down entire cities. Just to give you an idea of the type of generation that we are raising right now, at Belmont University, they have dedicated social media accounts focused on snitching on people for being maskless. It's called Belmont Maskless, where they will put your personal information online if you are caught not wearing a mask. This will only stop when we stop it, everybody. I really never thought I'd see in a country, in Wyoming, maybe New York or Los Angeles. They don't even do this in Manhattan, and they do this in Wyoming. A 16-year-old arrested for not wearing a mask. When did we decide to stop upholding free speech as a basic right? What's playing out right now at so many big tech companies and social media sites set a very dangerous precedent. Look, it doesn't matter what your politics are or who you voted for. Everyone should have the right to express themselves freely. Sadly, the big tech oligarchs and their monopoly has instead opted for silencing people and censorship. To fight back against big tech's control of the internet, I use ExpressVPN. Ever wondered how free-to-access tech giants make all their money? Well, by tracking your searches, they sell you. They build a profile on you, and they sell your sensitive data. When you use ExpressVPN and their wonderful app on your computer or phone, you anonymize much of your online presence by hiding your IP address. That makes your activity more difficult to trace and to sell to advertisers. What's more is ExpressVPN encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cyber criminals. What I like most is how easy it is to use. It takes just one click to protect all your devices. That's why ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET. So let's stop allowing big tech to revoke our rights to free speech. Why not revoke their right to your data instead? Secure your internet with the VPN that I trust, the only VPN that I use. Visit expressvpn.com/Charlie. That's expressvpn.com/Charlie to get 3 extra months free with my exclusive link. Go to expressvpn.com/Charlie right now to learn more. We have the best listeners. We really do. freedom@charliekirk.com. Janet emailed me, "Charlie, just listened to you doing the Grace Smith story. You failed to mention you could shoot up a school in Dallas, Texas and be released on bail, but Grace is arrested for not wearing a mask." By the way, love the show, Janet. That is a very wise email. Thank you. I did fail to mention that, and our listeners catch us when we don't cover it as perfectly as we should. So that is very, very well said. All right. Thought crime incoming. Trigger warning. Buckle up. I don't usually do this. I don't usually read an entire article, but I only do it when it's that good. This article is phenomenal. It is compelling. It is factual. It is reasonable. And it is against everything you are reading in the media today. Daniel Horowitz for TheBlaze.com says the data is in, and we are now worse off than before the experimental shots. Now, this is a thought crime. In October of 2018, the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health published a report that, if one did not know better, might make readers think the authors were involved in gain-of-function research that likely created the Fauci virus. The report was titled, quote, "Technologies to Address Global Catastrophic Biological Risks. It offers novel social control and mRNA vaccination ideas to deal with emerging pandemics. Quote, "Whether naturally emerging or re-emerging, deliberately created or released, or laboratory engineered and escaped, that could lead to sudden, extraordinary, widespread disaster beyond the collective capability of national, international organizations and the private sector control." One of the many bone-chilling sections in the publication, Daniel Horowitz writes, provides a blueprint for, quote, "self-spreading vaccines." Described as vaccines, quote, "genetically engineered to move through populations in the same way as communicable diseases. But rather than causing disease, they confer protection." After noting that such an idea would violate the rules of informed consent and possibly spread allergic reaction, they add this shocking prediction about the challenge of such technology. Daniel Horowitz writes, "Finally, there is not an insignificant risk of the vaccine virus reverting to a wild-type virulence, as has sometimes occurred with the oral polio vaccine, which is not intended to be fully virulent or transmissible, but which has reverted to become both neurovirulent and transmissible in rare instances. This is both a medical risk and public perception risk, and the possibility of vaccine-induced disease would be a major concern to the public." Daniel Horowitz continues by saying, "Whether this vaccine actually sheds the spike protein onto other people is still not yet proven, although Pfizer seems to indicate it can spread through skin-to-skin contact rather than inhalation. But the principle of mass vaccination with a faulty vaccine making a virus both more transmissible is something that is hard to deny at this point. The reality is that most people that have died from COVID-19 in 2021, with most adults vaccinated, nearly all seniors, than in 2020, when nobody was vaccinated. Something is not adding up," Daniel Horowitz says. "And perhaps those who have been dabbling in gain-of-function research in recent years have the answer." He continues by saying, "According to the latest Public Health England report, the only country with the granular weekly data, the COVID-19 case rates are higher per capita among the vaccinated in every age group over 30. Among those in the 40s, the case rate is nearly double among the vaccinated. For a vaccine efficacy, at least against infection, of a stunning -86%. Anyone who tells you this is normal and expected is simply lying to you. These numbers are getting worse every single week. The bottom line is that cases are spreading quicker, including out of season post-vaccine. It'd be one thing if the virus became more transmissible and less deadly, which is what we typically experience with a natural pandemic, which was the curve we were on, by the way. However, now the opposite is true. The virus has taken a painful toll on both the vaccinated and unvaccinated over the past few months, a phenomenon that is very well explained with a leaky vaccine that fails to sterilize the virus, but causes viral immune to escape and a degree of vaccine-medicated enhancement. Moreover, the notion that somehow the vaccine stops death is simply not true, especially not after they began to leak in efficacy after the first few months. We simply find no correlation, Daniel Horowitz from The Blaze writes, anywhere in the world with high vaccination rates and better outcomes. In fact, Israel is practically a textbook example of a leaky vaccine creating a degree of viral enhancement. Israel, most vaccinated country in the world, highest rates of virus. Singapore, 85% of its country is vaccinated, with the highest rates that they've experienced of the entire pandemic. So blame this on the Delta variant makes no sense. When England got the first round of Delta in May, about 2 months before the American South got crushed and before Israeli research showed the vaccine leaking, the Delta was actually much less virulent, described as a cold. At the time, I personally dismissed it as more of a cold because I was expecting this virus to continue behaving the way a natural virus would. Then the American South and Israel got hit hard. Now, England is also experiencing a higher death rate. My friend who goes by Gato online provided this useful graphic on Substack, which shows the case fatality rate gradually rising, not falling with higher vaccination rates in England. Again, this makes no sense according to the media narrative. There was no way a tiny percentage of unvaccinated adults that can be responsible for making the virus spread more prolifically and become more virulent, especially as there are more cases per capita among the vaccinated over 30. However, now, unlike with the chickenpox vaccine, the COVID shots appear to have leaked so much that the protection against the critical illness is rapidly waning too. So the question is, has the shot made things better or worse? And Daniel Horowitz argues in this article, the vaccine has made us in a worse position, not a better position. Consider the following data. A study prepared by Humetrics and the Department of Defense called Project Salus, which monitored 20 million Medicare beneficiaries from January to August of 2021, found that the vaccinated share of the COVID-19 hospitalizations rose steadily with both vaccines after 3 to 4 months and sharply after 6 months, as the Israelis have found. By late July, 71% of all cases and 61% of all hospitalizations were among vaccinated individuals. While over 80% of seniors are vaccinated, the percentage of hospitalized COVID patients over 65 today are vaccinated. Another piece of data. In an email to the Vermont Daily Chronicle, the Vermont Department of Health conceded that 76% of deaths in the state during September were vaccinated. This is Vermont. Bernie Sanders, you listening? 76% of people that are dying in Vermont of the Chinese coronavirus are vaccinated. They tried to excuse that number by noting that this is a very old population that was nearly universally vaccinated, but this is still a huge failure. For it was these people who needed protection more than anyone else, and maybe if they were told to behave differently, use azithromycin, Regeneron, hydroxychloroquine, and ivermectin. And let me just say this, with ivermectin, second member of our team, Terrell, a couple weeks ago, got the Fauci virus pretty bad. Ivermectin, overnight. True story. Same with Tyler Boyer in our team. He had a tough bout about it. Ivermectin, just fine. A new large study in the New England Journal of Medicine by Weill Cornell Medical Center found that Pfizer vaccine waned very quickly after 4 months. By 7 months, when adjusted for those in Qatar who then had previous infection, the Pfizer shot was -4% effective against transmission and 44.1% effective against severe illness. By now, many people have been vaccinated, are getting it again, and actually become the super spreaders. Daniel Horowitz asks, if we're going to lose our freedoms and suspend our country over a shot made by a greedy private company, can we at least do it for one that works? We're going to link to the story on charliekirk.com. I read it word for word. I don't do that a lot on this program. I don't. But I do it when it matters. And Daniel Horowitz, we got to have him back on our show. I know I say that about a lot of people. We're always traveling and all this. But Daniel Horowitz is a national treasure. He just hits home run after home run. He goes deep into the data. I mean, unlike most journalists who are just sloppy and lazy that are too busy going on CNN. Trump's a threat to democracy. How about you go look at the vaccine data and you do your job? I want to play some tape here of Governor Greg Abbott cut 25, saying no one can mandate the vaccine. Good for you, Greg Abbott. You deserve praise for this cut 25.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott's new executive order forbids any entity, including private businesses, from enforcing vaccine mandates in the nation's second most populated state. The Republican governor's order covers, quote, any individual, including an employee or a consumer, who objects to such vaccination for any reason of personal conscience, based on a religious belief, or for medical reasons, including prior recovery from COVID-19.
So how does MSNBC react? Joe Scarborough says Greg Abbott is bullying small businesses, people who drive not only Texas. He's doing the opposite. He's saying that you should have the choice to take this vaccine or not, that Daniel Horowitz, in a very compelling way, has said this is making things worse. And let me just say, anecdotally, this is not scientific. This is not empirical. So for all Media Matters watching out there, this is anecdotal. I can say this in my own personal circle, that since the vaccine has come onto the stage, how the severity of people dealing with the virus has increased. That's just anecdotal. I can say that. Play cut 26.
He's talking about bullying.
Yeah.
Joe Biden's not bullying businesses into vaccine mandates. Greg Abbott is bullying small businesses, family businesses, entrepreneurs, people that drive not only the Texas economy, but the American economy, from doing what they think is best for their own private enterprise.
Look, I know Morning Joe's on at like 6 a.m., so sometimes you might not have your thoughts all right. But what is he talking about? Joe Biden is the one that threatened the OSHA mandate. Greg Abbott is the one that says, choose freely. Which one is bullying? Which one is mandating? When I start to think things are not where they should be, I start to look at not just things that are wrong. It's the opposite of the truth. It's the Orwellian inverse of the truth. It's doublespeak. I've been telling you guys about Relief Factor for quite some time. And truth is, I know millions of people are, in fact, 100 million people are in some kind of pain. Look, producer Andrew, he couldn't walk. He was a hobbled individual. He was bedridden in his chair, complaining all the time. And then all of a sudden, we got this call from Relief Factor. They said, hey, we want to partner with your show. We're going to send you some Relief Factor. Producer Andrew got it. He took it, got a little bit better, took some more, got a little bit better. Next thing you know, he's doing the Fallsberry flop like you wouldn't believe. In fact, he might be training for an Ironman. It's pretty incredible. Now, he says it's thanks to Relief Factor. I ask him all the time, Relief Factor? He says, relieffactor.com, 100% drug-free supplement. You can get it for less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day. So go to relieffactor.com, and I'm suggesting you order their three-week quick start to see if we can get you out of pain. And then after that, it's less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. So go to relieffactor.com. That is relieffactor.com. I'm telling you, a lot of people are in pain. It's 100% drug-free. Don't go to opioids. Don't go to these other things. Check it out at relieffactor.com. Oh, Joy Reid. I've always liked Eric Clapton, for the record. I think Eric Clapton is a very talented guitarist, one of the most talented of all time, dare I say. And Eric Clapton had a very bad reaction to the vaccine. So he is, in essence, not anti-vaccine. Okay, so there's no way you could be anti-vaccine because he actually took the vaccine. Now, Eric Clapton, of course, was part of Cream, one of the greatest bands ever created. I think that's a three-man band, right? It was awesome. So Joy Reid starts spouting out, I only listen to half of this. I only can handle so much of it, but we're all going to experience this together. So cut 29, just play it.
Rock and roll icon Eric Clapton is the latest example, making news today for donating a van and 1,000 pounds to British anti-vax group Jam for Freedom. He participated in one of singer Van Morrison's four anti-lockdown songs last year. And he's spoken out against the vaccine ever since he claimed he had adverse effects from it, blaming pro-vaccine propaganda. Now, what really stands out about white anti-vaxxers in particular is that they act like their freedom has been taken from them.
Of course, she must racialize everything. Eric Clapton, who had an awful reaction to the vaccine. Rolling Stone is also continuing the hit piece. I need to find that piece. Here it is. It's right here. Rolling Stone. Special report. Eric Clapton's baffling vaccine skepticism and shocking history of racist statements. Here's the thing. Eric Clapton is in a category where he's literally uncancelable. By the way, he looks great for 76. Let me just say, Eric Clapton, he's incredible. And of course, diversity of opinion will not be tolerated under this regime. And so this article for Rolling Stone, it reads like this massive expose. Like, you know what? We've covered Eric Clapton for years, but the fact that he will not continue to support our forced vaccination campaign, he's actually a racist. And it goes through this whole article about how deep down he's a total racist. Even though I think it has a picture of him rock against racism, doesn't it, in the article? History of racist statements. Yeah, that's the real reason why he's so terrible. Shows a picture of him with Greg Abbott. It's like, oh, there you go. He must be a terrible person. And I can't imagine this is actually winning people over, though. I mean, Eric Clapton's a legitimate legend. I don't say that lightly. One of the greatest musicians ever to live in the history of music. And Rolling Stone used to be like the rock and roll Bible, all about like, stick it to the man. It was the leader of the gay, you know, the gay marriage thing. It was a leader of the let's legalize drugs for everyone thing. Now it's like, now you must go take the vaccine thing. And it's just such an interesting picture. And Joy Reid, she's such a simple-minded person. I don't expect her. She does whatever they put on screen is what she says. And I don't expect, you know, complex thinking from her. But it's someone in the media, Glenn Greenwald's covered this, and Tucker's done a phenomenal job. Is anyone remotely interested, though, in the mainstream media? And the answer is no. On how all of a sudden everyone has become pharmaceutical shills? This is the story, and we've repeated, this has kind of been a theme we've repeated in different variations, which is the very people that used to chain themselves to sequoia trees because they don't want to see the trees get cut down are now the ones saying, take the vaccine or else. It's been one of the most stunning reversals and developments, and the only explanation I have is the following. Yes, they want to control you. Yes, they want to have power, but because they do not believe in an eternal transcendent order, they are so protective of their existence here to an extent that they do not care about any freedom and liberty because all they know is their temporal, earthly life here. It's a religious commitment to the temporary. It's the only way I could possibly explain it. Of course, they don't believe in property rights or natural rights. They don't believe in God, let alone God-granted rights. So I wouldn't expect them to believe in any sort of natural rights doctrine, but it does beg this question, which is, are a majority of people actually okay with this? With a rather non-controversial person like Eric Clapton being smeared as an anti-vaxxer by Rolling Stone, he literally took the vaccine and could not move his arms, his fingers, which is somewhat important for playing the guitar, minorly so. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. God bless you guys, and please come to AmFest in December, tpusa.com/AmFest. Talk to you guys soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.